Tuesday, 25th of September, Yud Gimel Tishrei, Rabbi David Zug in half, Mitzayah, Posimil HaSukkah.
I'm the Ili Nishma, from the Mayri Shal Baruch, and the Shal Baruch HaKayin. And I'd also like to dedicate this shiur to my good friend, who needs it for Shleimo, Rabbi Shmuley Kass, with Shmuel Simcha, Bunim HaKayin, Ben Devaira, inspirational Rav and Lachanach, and Ezra Shem Shabbat for Shleimo. So this morning I'd like to discuss the concept of Mitzta'er Potim in HaSukkah. The Gemara tells us in Perek Sheni of Sukkah, and it's the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Tov Reish Mem Se'if Dalet, the Mitzta'er Potim in HaSukkah. Somebody who's experiencing discomfort, somebody who's a bit irritated, he's Mitzta'er, he's exempt from the Mitzvah of Sukkah. So I'd like to discuss this for Ezra Hashem, Bahalocha and Uva Agodo. So we'll start off, there's a Maisa with Rav Chaim Oza Grudzinski. Rav Chaim Oza, at that time he was quite old, he was quite frail, wasn't feeling so well, so he was potter from the sukkah, and so many of the meals at Yom Tov he didn't eat in the sukkah. One day, a guest came, an arach, and so Rav Chaim Oza, who was already advanced in years, he went into the sukkah to sit together with the guest. And one of the members of his family asked Rav Chaim Oza, surely you're potter from the sukkah because you're mitzta'er. You're experiencing discomfort. It's difficult for you to be in the sukkah. He goes, taka, I'm potter. I'm exempt from the sukkah. But I'm chayv in achnosis orchim. A gewaldige mitzvah of achnosis orchim. Often we do it just because it's fun, it's friendly, we're nice people. It's a gewaldige mitzvah achnosis orchim. Tremendous mitzvah. Following the midas of Avraham Avinu to emulate his ways. So I'm chayav the mitzvah achnos orchim. So for achnos orchim, I do need to be with a guest. So it is in fact very interesting. Why is it that in the halacha of sukkah we have this exemption of mitzta'er potim in sukkah? That if it's difficult for you, you're exempt. You know, matzah on Seder night. So it's almost an Olympic sport now. How much you can eat in the smallest amount of time. So some people don't actually enjoy that. Some people find that to imbibe huge boxes of cardboard-like matzah, you know, with the time it takes to say Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Yomori, is very, very difficult for some people. So it's quite an amount of tzar is involved. Could be Sakonos Nefoshes almost. Yet we don't say Mitzpah Potim in our matzah. Or a person finds it difficult to put on tefillin. He perspires when he puts on tefillin. It's irritating when he puts his tefillin on. We don't say Mitzpah Potim in our tefillin. Why is it that we say Mitzpah Potim in our sukkah? Why should this be? So, I'd like to share with you two answers which I've seen to this before we speak about a little bit of the lomdus behind it, how it applies on the first night, and some of the other general halachas concerning this. So why should it be the mitzvah potim in sukkah? So the first answer I saw in the Be'er Yosef. The Be'er Yosef has a fantastic analysis of this topic in Parshas Emor. The Be'er Yosef is of Yosef Tzvi Salant, and he was a maggid in Yerushalayim. In the Hakdomos of the Be'er Yosef, with Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal said, I remember when I was a child in Yerushalayim, I used to go and hear Shmuzen Shiurim from Rav Yosef Tzvi Salant. So he explains as follows. He says, we find quite an anomaly in general with the mitzvah of sukkah. On the one hand, we say that sukkah is a bit like going into golus. It seems to have negative connotations. On the other hand, we see that sukkah is supposed to be a mokum of simcha, of hanor, and oinog. It's supposed to be a pleasurable experience. So which one is it? On the one hand, he brings the Maharil. The Maharil in Hilchos Sukkah, he writes as follows. Tam acher, tivo mitzvah sukkah, somach liyom kippah. One of the reasons why the mitzvah sukkah should be immediately after Yom Kippah, we've been chucked out. I'm not saying who's chucked you out, but it's as though we've been chucked out of our houses. We should be in Golus. It's something which is supposed to be therapeutic for our neshama by going out into Golus for roughing it a little while. So this is supposed to be a tikkun. This is supposed to be rectification for our neshama. The Maharal continues. Kol odom yaseh sukosei keva v'dirosei arai. By living in this temporary arrangement, what one achieves is she'im chas v'shol negza olav golus nishaper bozeh. Rachmona litzlon, there are all sorts of decrees that go down and Yasser Shemei Tshuvah. Chas v'shom, it could be that it was nigzar on a person. He should be chayv golos. We know people that never have to leave their homes, have to leave their houses, have to leave their countries even. Could be there was a decree upon a person that he's chayv golos. By going out into the sukkah, there's a gavaldiga tikkun, a gavaldiga kapora, an atonement for such a person. And the Medrash Rabba says, I'm sorry, the Medrash says in Yalkut, in Parshas Emor, Omer Rabbi Eliezer bar Marnus, Lom Ono Eisim Sukkah Achi Yom Kippurim, Lei Melachot to tell you, Shekein Atom Wait to Bresh Hashono, Yeshu Lekadosh Baruch Hu, B'din Alok Boi Eilom, Hashem is judging the world. Of Yom Kippur Mu Chaisim Es Adin, On Yom Kippur He sealed it, Shem Yom Otsay, Shem Yom Tzal Din Shel Yisrael Lugolos, Where they came Eisim Sukkah, V'goylim Yibotim Lusav Sukkah, V'akadosh Baruch Hu Mara Alem Ki'ilu Golu Lubovel. It's as though we've all gone to Iraq. Right, so we've all got the Pani Yisrael of the Niglets of Bovel. So all we have to do is go out into the garden, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu imagines we're in Iran, Iraq, Persia. Not so geschmack to be there at the moment. Hashem considers it as though we've gone into Golus. So that seems as though there are some negative connotations associated with the mitzvah of Sukkah. Me'idach Gisa, on the other hand, the Sukkah is supposed to be something which is intrinsically pleasurable, a place of hano, oineg, and simcha. The Medrash says in the Yalkut, again in Parshas Emor, that we find something unprecedented with the mitzvah, with chag hasukkos. The Medrash says, atomait shorish smochos ne'amar b'chag. Three times it says, simcha, v'somachto b'chagecho, v'hayisa ach someach, v'simachto lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yomim. Said with Pesach we only find it written once. With Sukkah we find there's supposed to be a triple dosing, a triple dose of Simcha, a gavaldiga boost of Simcha, phenomenal boost. And the Rambam says in Hilchos Lulav Perek Ches, Af al pi shekol ha'moedos mitzvah lismayach b'hen, b'chag ha'sukkah yisoysa b'migdosh Simcha yaseiro, shenema v'simachtim lifnei Hashem alekeichem shivas yomim. And there are oid v'oid kamorayos that it's supposed to be a place of simcha, a time of simcha, of enjoyment. And the Achrayim, the Machane Ephraim, the Kiva Ega, they both say, don't have time to go into it right now, that the Hanor of Sukkah is actually an intrinsic part of the mitzvah. The Hanor is itself part of the mitzvah. So which one is it? A place of Golus or a place of simcha? Normally the two of them are mutually exclusive. It's not so geschmack to be in Golus. If you have simcha, then l'chayu you're not in Golus. So which one is it? So says Rav Yosef Tzvi Salant, that's exactly the point. Sukkah is supposed to be a synthesis of these two seemingly paradoxical ideas. Why do we have sukkahs? So he says one of the reasons why we have sukkahs is to remember the incredible chesed that Hashem did to us when we left Egypt. We were goyim, we were wanderers, a nomadic tribe, wandering around the desert of Mesopotamia. This is what we were doing, wandering around. Nevertheless, Hashem orchestrated things that we were living in the lap of luxury with much better than 5-star accommodation. We had the amazing Anane HaKovoid, we had all of our clothes dry cleaned as we were walking through, our clothes grew as we grew, we had the Mon, we had the Be'er, we were having 5-star accommodation. No wonder they didn't want to leave the Midbar to go into Eretz Yisrael. This was the Hilton, this was the Savoy, this was an unbelievable experience that Klal Yisrael had when they were mere goyim, when they were mere exiles, wanderers, in the Midbar back then. So what we do, says the Bar Yosef, is that we are supposed to go into our own self-imposed golus, to leave our houses, and it's supposed to be a golus, and there's a tikkun, a tremendous atonement, a kaporo by going into Golus. But at the same time, to commemorate the amazing chesed which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us all of those years ago, we're supposed to try and have a fantastic experience whilst we are out in our back gardens sitting in this Diras Arai. We're supposed to try and commemorate the chesed that Hashem did by really enjoying being in the sukkah, by experiencing the simcha. The Brisa brings 10 different ways, all of the noi sukkah, all of the different ways we can adorn our sukkah. Right, there's a real kiyum of noi sukkah over here, these fantastic start the day, the Teruah, Sukkot flyers. Amazing. Have every rabbi looking at it, you know, scrutinizing it, trying to see all of their different colleagues. So Noi Sukkah is an amazing, amazing thing. We're supposed to really enjoy the mitzvah. We're not supposed to be betza'ar when we're in the Sukkah. So this is how we can combine these two ideas. Yes, it is godless, but it's also a place of oneg. That being the case, if a person is mitzta'er, if a person finds it uncomfortable or awkward or difficult to be in the Sukkah, then you're not really able to fulfill the mitzvah properly. Because you don't feel, you can't commemorate the amazing chesed which Hashem did. You're not living in five-star luxury. You're freezing. You're toasting like the ice blocks. You can't feel your ears anymore. If you're mitzta'er, then of course you're potter in our sukkah. Because it's impossible to really feel the geshmak, to really feel the simcha, to really appreciate the amazing chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. It's not the same experience anymore. So that's why, that's the rationale. He says that mitzvah is potter in our sukkah. So this is one explanation. I saw another explanation in the Bikur Yaakov on Masechta Sukkah. He explains as follows. The Beit Yosef asks a kasha on the Tor in Hilchos Sukkah. Famous kasha. The Tor is normally, if we can say such a thing, a fairly dry halacha sefer. This is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, and this is when you should or shouldn't engage in such an action. However, when it comes to Hilchos Sukkah, the Tor goes to town and starts giving us all of the shroshim, the whole rationale, the whole Talmud Dikra, the whole reason behind the mitzvah of Sukkah. And he says, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of the Midbar of Mitzrayim and the different shittas, whether it's to commemorate the Anani Al-Kovoid or the booths that Klal Yisrael made whilst they were in the Midbar. And all of a sudden, the Torah seems as though it's going to great lengths to explain to us the reason of Sukkot. Why on earth should it be that over here and in just a few other places the Torah explains the rationale behind Sukkah? So the Beis Yosef says that the reason that he does that is because since the Torah tells us L'man yedu be'reisechem ki b'sukkah yisei shav yisbenei Yisrael b'yitziyei som yeretz Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us what, the Torah itself gives us the reason why we should celebrate Sukkah. The Torah itself says you should do this. All the generations should know that I caused the Bnei Yisrael to dwell in booths when they came out of Mitzrayim. And Ani Akovei, the booths, everybody should know it. Anything, says the Beis Yosef, that the Torah itself tells us the reason why we should do it, then le'ikuvo, it's absolutely imperative that when we're in the Sukkah, we have kavono, that we are being mekayim the mitzvah for that reason. Normally, mitzvah trichas kavono, you just have to have kavono. I am now performing the rotzein Hashem. However, in these few circumstances, including the halacha of sukkah, when the Torah goes out of its way to explain to us the rationale, then it's not good enough, says the Beis Yosef and the Bach and the Taz. It's not good enough just to think I'm doing rotzein Hashem. We have to think about the reason behind it. We have to be conscious, cognizant, aware the whole time that we are the Mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah for those reasons that are given. Explains the Bikur Yaakov as follows. There are two types of mitzta'er from Sukkah. Two categories of someone who's experiencing discomfort. One of them is he's experiencing discomfort because of Yeshiva Sukkah, because he is sitting in the Sukkah. An example will be, it's very cold out in the Sukkah and it's nice and warm in my house. Or there are lots of mosquitoes in the Sukkah, and there aren't mosquitoes in my house. There, if I go into my house, then I will no longer experience this discomfort. So we can understand, there, of course, mitzvah is potter in our Sukkah. However, there's another type of category of mitzvah is potter in our Sukkah. That other type of category is a person who is anyway, nebuch, just experiencing tzar. He's a person who is in discomfort at that time for external reasons. Could be he's ill. He'll be ill outside. He'll be ill inside. Could be he's got some other reason, some other pain or something, and it will be exactly the same whether he's outside or whether he's inside. Such a person, who even if he'd leave the sukkah would still experience tzar, is such a person exempt from the sukkah or not? Is such a person allowed to go into their house? So this is a machlokes between the Mordechai and the Maharik. the Mordechai says you're still chayav to be in the sukkah. Why? Poshut, why? Because even if you go inside, it's not going to help you. So you may as well stay in the sukkah. However, the Ma'arik has a chiddush, and the Ma'arik says no. Mitzvah potim in our sukkah, mitzvah potim in our sukkah. Even if you'll be inside, you'll still be in tzar. Nevertheless, you're still potter from the sukkah. Why should the Ma'arik say mitzvah potim in our sukkah? Even in a case where it's an external reason that you've got tzar. So the Bekuri Yaakov explains beautifully, since the Beis Yosef has told us that we're always supposed to have in mind the rationale, the reason for sukkah, and that's li'ikuvo, if we haven't got that in mind, then we haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. That being the case, if we have another distraction, whatever the cause of that distraction is, nevertheless I'm not able to think about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made these Anani HaKovod for us, or how we sat in sukkahs during that time when our Hashem protected us. Since I'm not able to have that in mind because I'm distracted, whatever the reason, nevertheless I can't have it in mind, I can't concentrate properly. Since I can't concentrate properly, so therefore mitzvah potim in our sukkah, because the Beis Yosef said it's li'ikuvah, it is absolutely imperative that I have to have the reason for sukkahs in mind, and since I can't have the reason for sukkahs in mind, therefore there's no point in being in the sukkah, and therefore I'm potim in our sukkah. So these are the two reasons that I found, the Be'er Yosef and the Bikuri Yaakov, why it is exactly that mitzvah is potim in our sukkah. Okay, what about the first night of sukkahs? The Poskim discuss, is the patur, the exemption of mitzvah potim min ha-sukkah, also applicable on the very first night of sukkahs? So, and if not, then why not? So there's a machlekes over here between the Ran and the Rosh. Okay. Sorry, between the Ran and the Rosh and the Rashba. So the Ran and the Rosh both say that on the first night, le'inyan geshomim yesh chumah b'layin ha'orishayna yoysa mebuchol ha'chag. The b'chol ha'chag kishayere geshomim maniach sukosay v'yoytzei v'me'ene yoytzei havi kehedjet avu b'layin ha'orishayna tzorich le'achol kezayis b'sukah afim geshomim yoredim v'yikadish b'sukah kedei le'me zvan ala sukah. This is the way the Ran and the Rosh explain it. The Ran and the Rosh say, on the first night, there is no exemption of mitzvah potim in our sukkah. On the first night, you have to be in the sukkah, whether you're mitzvah, whether it's raining, whether it's pouring, on the first night, you have to be in the sukkah. And the Rashba says, no. He says, you don't have to be in the sukkah. There's no difference between the first night and the rest of sukkahs. So what is the reason behind these two opinions? So it's as follows. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah that there's a gzera shavo between the first night of Pesach and the first night of Sukkot. The pasuk says in Vayikra Chaf Gimel Lamed Daled, "B'chamisha osva yom l'chodesh haShvi'i hazeh chagas sukkos shivat yomim laHashem." The pasuk says on the 15th, that's when you start celebrating Sukkot. And concerning Pesach, also. The Pasuk says, Bachamisha Oso, also on the 15th. Just like on the 15th of Nisan, there's a mitzvah chiyuvis to eat matzah, so too, on the 15th of Tishri, there's a mitzvah chiyuvis to sit in the sukkah. So, we therefore have to sit in the sukkah, we therefore have to make sure we eat foods in the sukkah on the night of the 15th. So that's fine, everybody agrees with that. The question is, what happens if you're mitzta'er? What happens if you find it difficult, if you find it awkward and uncomfortable on the first night of Sukkot? Does this mitzvah still apply or does it not apply? The Ran and the Rosh says, no, it does not apply anymore. You have to sit in the Sukkah. You don't have the Torah of mitzvah. And the Rashba says, no, you're potter. So what's the rationale behind this? So the Orach HaShulchan says, in Tzimetzof HaShlamatet, Oistet Zayin, a beautiful explanation. He says that The Gemara tells us that we know mitzvah potim in our sukkah is because it says basukkah is teishvu shivat yomim. Teishvu ke'en tuduru. Tosfos in sukkah chavov says teishvu ke'en tuduru is the source for mitzvah potim in our sukkah. that in the same way as if you were in your house, if you'd be mitzta'er, you just leave. So too, in your sukkah, if you're mitzta'er, you can just leave. So this is the traditional source for mitzta'er potim in our sukkah. Now, on the first night of sukkah, is our chiyuv sukkah on the first night part of the general chiyuv of basukkah is teishu shivas yomim, in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Mem Beis, basukkah is teishu shivas yomim, is it part of the general chiyuv of sukkah? Is the first night part of the general chiyuv of sukkah? And the pasuk of b'chamisha osa yom is just an additional pasuk that applies also? Or, now that we have the pasuk, which obligates us on the first night, b'chamisha osa yom lechidish hashviyah, does that supersede the original pasuk of basukkah is teishu shivas yomim? Yeah, so let's just clarify that. You've got the pasuk, you should dwell in the sukkah for 7 days, basukkah is teishu shivas yomim. Is the pasuk which obligates us, the Gzeira Shava, the pasuk which tells us we have to eat in the sukkah on the first night of sukkah, is this in addition to the original pasuk of basukkah is teishu, or is it instead of this pasuk? If you say that it's an additional pasuk, and basukkah is teishu shivas yomim still applies, then what do we learn from basukkah is teishu shivas yomim? We say teishu ke'en toduru. We say you have to sit in a normal way that you sit inside your house, and therefore mitzvah is possible in our sukkah. So if the original pasuk basukkah is teishu applies, then the patur of mitzvah also applies, and therefore on the first night of sukkah you would not need to stay in your house. If, however, in your sukkah, very good. If, however, the pasuk b'chamisha osayim l'chedesh hashvi hazeh chag asukkah shivas yomim l'Hashem, which gives us the Gzeira Shava, the link to Pesach, if that supersedes, if this is instead of the pasuk of the sukkah teishu shivas yomim, so we now have a new chiyuv to sit on the first night of sukkah, and that's not related to basukkah teishu ke'en toduru at all. It's a new chiyuv of the first night instead of basukkah teishu shivas yomim. If it's a new chiyuv, then the patur of mitzvah no longer applies, and you still have to sit in your sukkah on the first night of sukkah, come rain, hail, or chas v'shalom snow, global warming, anything possible. We still have to sit in our sukkah. So this says the Aruch HaShulchan is the reason behind this machlokes. The Ran and the Rosh, they say that you have to sit in the sukkah on the first night, even if you're mitzvah, even if it's raining. They say that's because the sukkah teishu shivas yomim doesn't apply anymore. You've got the new pasuk of b'chamisha osa yom. Whereas the Rashba says no, it's in addition to the original pasuk, and therefore basukkah teishu still applies. Teishu ke'in toduru. You still have the normal halachos of sukkah, and therefore mitzvah is potim in our sukkah. The Aruch HaShulchan says there'll be another nafka mina to this machlokes, and that will be what should the shear be? What's the size of food that you have to eat in the sukkah on the first night? How big does it have to be? So normally, what's the normal shear of achila for something? A kezayis. A kezayis is the normal shear of achila. However, if you've got the pasuk basukkah is teishvu shivas yomim, so the expression teishvu, you should dwell, implies that you should have a proper kviyas suda. You should have a proper sufficient amount of food, much more than a kezayis. So then you should have to have a kebeo, right? A kebeo, the size of an egg, is something which is more substantial and is more in line with the expression teishu. If it's a normal achilo, like all abiyomim teivim, so then all you need is a kezayis. So those who say b'chamisha osayim lechidish hashvi is the only pasuk which applies, and they say therefore that the patur of mitzvah potim min mitzvah min sukkah does not apply anymore, so then they say all you need is a kezayis, the normal din of an achilo. However, those that say that no, you still have basukkah teishu shivas yomim, they would say no, you even need a kebeo, because basukkah teishu still applies, and teishu implies you have to have a greater shear, and that's the shear of a kebeo. Okay, so final halachas, which for Ezra Hashem we should never need to know, and these are the halachas of lemaisa. What is it that we should be doing if there is rain on sukkah? Remember last year was an unbelievable mess. Remember last year? Everybody was... It was raining cats and dogs. It was a torrential rainstorm on Erev Sukkot. Torrential rainstorm. And those who left it a little bit late, with a tzari, ani b'chlolom, were putting up the sukkah, or putting up those final decorations, or the final schach, in mummish in torrential conditions. And some people, they thought, we're never going to be able to sit in the sukkah tonight. But other people had faith. And Baruch Hashem, we went to shul, it was pouring, and we came home from shul, and Hashem turned the tap off. It was an unbelievable, unbelievable chesed. People really felt that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, really says, okay, let's do your mitzvah now. Really appreciates our mitzvah. So Baruch Hashem, we should never know these halachas. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Tofei Shlama Tes, Sif Hei, Yordu Gishomim, that normally if it rains you can go inside your house. And the Ramah says, so he says you do have to eat in the sukkah. He's chayshish for those shittas who are machmir. You have to eat even though it's raining, the shitta of the Ran and the Rosh. And since you have to eat in the sukkah, because the normal halachas of teshu came to do then supply, so then it's very, very exact over. He says you have to eat a kazayis in the sukkah. Af im gishomim yodim. So if we know there's going to be rain all night, then we go into the sukkah, and it's forecast there'll be rain all night. So then we go into the sukkah and we eat our kazayis, and then we go back into the house. Says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Mishnah Brura. V'dad yesh oid migdoli harishonim. Okay, he says oid kofu. He says in Sifkot Namatei oid kofu duroy lahamtin ad chatzoyt alaylo peniava hageshem demiava yichnas lesuka v'yavarach brachas leishay basuka v'yeichel v'yeiti b'zeh mitzvahs asei l'kola alma. He first brings the shita that says we should wait till midnight. There's discussion where exactly he gets this top this midnight from. We don't have time to go into it now. But he said you should wait. You should wait. Right, midnight now is 1 o'clock. So you should wait to see whether the rain stops. What have you achieved by that? Because then you're able to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah according to all of the shittas. If you eat whilst it's raining, so then it's true you fulfill the mitzvah according to the Ran and the Rosh. But according to the Rosh, you're potter, so there's no, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah yet. So therefore he says you should wait. He continued, the ain kedai lahamtin kol kach. He says, some people may be a little bit pleased to hear, that it's not worthwhile to wait so long. Brings the Shari Tshuva. That there's no worse thing than just waiting and waiting and not having your Simchas Yomtov. So therefore he says it's not kedai to actually wait so long. V'chein ba'el yirabu k'rim agodim lo yizkiru shir chatzais rak kishar shatayim dim lo posku yasa od kiddush v'sukkah k'mesh kosa v'ramah. He says it's worthwhile to wait an hour or two. Wait an hour or two to see if it stops. If it stops, then you go in and you have your sudah in the sukkah. If it doesn't stop, then also you go into the sukkah, you make kiddush, you have a quick kazayis, and then you go back into the house. And if afterwards it stops raining, so then you should go back into the sukkah again later. The rest of the halachas can be found in Sofei Shlama Tes. These are the basic halachas. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go further. But Be'ez Hashem, we should all have a fantastic sukkah, Be'ez Hashem, and we shouldn't have to go on to these halachas and make start off in the sukkah.